Pray for Pastor Mark and Missy. This is a time when, and they have a new infant in the house, a lot of things going on, and I pray in the name of Jesus that this church will stand with your pastor. This morning can be a wake-up call to you when the man handles everything, okay, and then the man is not there. And so I trust that this church will rally and put your hands to the plow and see this place come into total destiny. Amen. I see this place packed out. I've often seen since in visions don't die, amen, but I've seen times when God has showed me that people lining out the door trying to get into this place. We decree the presence of God to be released in this house. I decree the anointing of breakthrough. I decree the dunamis power will fall upon this place in the name of Jesus. I decree it and I speak it into an atmosphere that this place will be a place of anointed gathering of God's people, not just for the fellowship, but for the releasing of his power, signs, wonders, and miracles. Isn't that awesome? Father, we ask that you be with us right now as we share your word. We bless you, and we give you all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. Well, I've titled this In Remembrance, and a little subtitle, Unto Us a Child is Born and a Son is Given. And so I want us to realize that God wants us to live in remembrance of what he has done so that we can propel ourselves in what he is doing. Amen? And when the body of Christ gathers around the communion table, and we're going to do communion today, there is several words that carry a very strong and poignant memory when we have communion. And as simple as this, do this in remembrance of me. These powerful words can and should be applied to this season that we are embarking on now. In remembrance of me. So let us begin to remember and bring in remembrance the miracle that God did from heaven. In fact, I was thinking something this morning. It was kind of interesting. I said, I wonder what would happen if at the Christmas meal that someone would pull out the Bible and just read the Christmas story. And what reaction would we have with the families and those gathered around? Would they react with remembrance and awe? Or would they be surprised? Why are you talking about that during this time? God wants something different. Amen? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says this. Let's just bring in the remembrance. Let's just, before I get to my message, let's just bring something, a miracle released from heaven upon mankind, upon earth. Let's remember the miracle. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. It was a different times back then. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And that you can find that in Isaiah 7 as far as the prophecy is concerned. So there's, in my estimation, and looking at what we're looking at today, and looking at the world and all that we're facing, all that seems to be physically in front of us, I don't think there's a stronger message needed in the world today, or in our nation, or in the culture as a whole, than that God has granted life, hope, and peace in the birth and life of Jesus Christ. That needs to ring out through the airways. That God has granted something besides what we have. He has granted life and hope and peace through our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. This is a time of year when mankind and culture has established a celebration of giving gifts, of expressing love and concern for family members more than we normally would. This is a time of year when we try to show our appreciation to our loved ones more than we ever do. This is a time of year that man has created a celebration. We call it Christmas. But this version of this time of year of just expressing your kindness and appreciation and gifts, and this time of year, and we all work it up. You can see it through all of society, in fact, the world. But it's short-lived. It doesn't last. For the gifts that you will give, even on Tuesday, to the ones you love the most, will wear off in 2 weeks, a week. Whatever you spent, what you haven't even paid for yet, and you give as a gift, the essence of that gift will wear off. If you're under or real young, it might not even take a day. It's temporary. But church, there is a gift that has been given and keeps on giving for everyone who receives it, who opens up, and who receives it and accepts it. It is the gift of God to humanity. It is the gift of God to reverse the curse that is put on the earth. It is the mightiest gift that we have ever known. And we must realize that this time of year, the world and all those in the enemy's camp, amen, do not want to look at the power and the life that was presented when Christ came and was born. In fact, a well-overused scripture, we see it everywhere, but it really applies here. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That is a gift that keeps on giving. The divine gift of Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is eternal, and gives everlasting life. I think in our busyness and our culture and what we live in, we forget that we have everlasting life because of the Messiah that came. We lose sight of it because the day-by-day grind so gets us to focus. But I'm here to tell you the gift that Jesus is the Son of God, eternal, gives everlasting life. He releases light, love, mercy, grace, and reveals the keys of the miraculous spiritual existence of the kingdom of God. This is what we celebrate. This is what God has granted. This, and we're going to regurgitate it a little bit only today and rehearse it because we've heard it so many times. I'm a number of years old, and I've probably been hearing this for, I don't know, 70 years. And as we keep hearing it in the way we react as human beings, it gets a little less powerful and less powerful and less powerful than the first time you've ever heard it, that Jesus Christ was born, the Son of God, bringing everlasting life, bringing light into the world. It is so powerful that can we rejuvenate the Spirit of God within ourselves to receive this year, this time, receive the life that Christ really brought. Isn't that awesome? The church, as we know today, has lost sight, I think. Has lost sight of the power of what happened that day. That Emmanuel, God is with us. God is, was brought into the earth. Never to leave us. Never to forsake us. With such power and love that he came for one person, one purpose, and that is to bring God's kingdom and bring his children home. Yeah. Believers of Jesus Christ must not be distracted this time of year. We must be focused on what God has done. Yeah. Understand what God has done. It's more than a baby laying in a manger. By the way, he's not there anymore. Hello. I'm going to behave myself because I could really unfold some things here, but we're going to behave ourselves today. But because Jesus Christ, we must, the believers of Jesus Christ must not be distracted this time of year, and we must focus on what God has done. And what is it that God did? Oh, a baby got born. No! What God did is he caused an invasion of heaven. In the incarnation of his Son, he invaded earth with heaven. There's an invasion. There was no hope. Darkness penetrated everything. The curse, irreversible, sets in on all creation. We're doomed. But then that day, there was an invasion of light and life, of power and might from heaven. The invasion was the gift, his Son, Jesus Christ. The incarnation of his Son, rather than, this is what we need to be celebrating today. Yeah. This time of season, the birth of Jesus Christ, rather than what man created through lights and glitter and festivals of celebrations. I want to say this to you, that there is two parallel celebrations going on simultaneously right now. Two parallel. One created by man and one birthed by God. Amen. Two celebrations walking side by side. And I'm not one of these preachers that say, oh, don't have fun at Christmas and don't enjoy yourself. That's a bunch of garbage, okay? And we're not saying that. But what I'm saying is, can we just switch the focus and make Christ and then Christmas, we know it today, instead of Christmas and fitting Christ in, maybe. How many family members would be offended if you took my suggestion and pulled your Bible out during the dinner and just read the story? Come on. How many of your family members would be offended that you dare do that in the celebration of Christmas? Amen. And God is calling us, amen, to move into a direction of honoring the King. So there is two parallel celebrations. You don't have to do away with the Christmas and the celebration that man has created. Enjoy, have fun. But change the priorities and focus on the real reason of this weekend or this week and this time of year. The real reason is we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. That's why I think it rings true with John 8:29. It says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Can we revive the message of truth? Because what happened when that child was born is that truth again rebirthed into the earth. Know the difference between what man says we are to celebrate and what God commands us to worship his name. Amen? For as a result of the fall of mankind, death and separation from God was and is man's portion. That's what it is. Separation forever from God because of the fall of man. But I want to tell you something. There was a day when the king was looking down from his throne room. There was a day that light came and life came into the world. It was a day when that life came into the world, and it was the seed of Abraham. Amen? It was the word, it was the spirit of the Lord to break forth and break the curse of mankind. It was the word of God came forth. Amen? And broke the curse, started the process of redeeming what was God's. And the light and life, which was God's plan all along, I want you to know this. God, this birth of Jesus Christ was not plan B. You've got to hear me now. Jesus didn't come to fix God's mistake. It was ordained from the beginning of time. So as a result of the fall of mankind, man has been separated, and that is his portion from God. But there came a day when light and life came into the world, who again was the seed of Abraham, the word and the spirit of the Lord that broke to break the curse over mankind in all creation. Amen. Sometimes I look at this and I say, "This just we've done this so many times, Lord. We've lost the power of understanding what the birth of Jesus Christ really is to be celebrated about. The original tent in the establishment of Christmas celebrations was to bring remembrance of the truth of Jesus Christ and as the Son of God. That was the original intent. To bring remembrance, not to take a life of its own and not to go forth and as a separate celebration, but it was meant to come together and remember what God did. Amen? The coming of Jesus Christ has been declared from the beginning of time. It must be remembered. It came and was known by the beginning of time. Must be remembered. There was, as I said before, no plan B. It was God's intention from the beginning for Jesus Christ to come and redeem mankind. Can I hear an amen on that? Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 kind of sums it up, verse 16 and 17 in the New American Standard. It says, "For by him all things were created, both in heaven in the heavens and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things," say all things, "have been created through him and for him. From the beginning of time, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." We must remember today, church, the power of the entrance into the created world of Jesus Christ. We must remember it because it's been foretold from since the beginning. And I want to just give you a rehearsal, a couple of scriptures where God actually, in the beginning, declared Jesus Christ is coming. See, this is not a created holiday. The world would have you think that this was Christmas was created, and you know, when I was growing up, they did this. They used to put an X. I don't think they. I haven't seen that in a long time. But they used to call it Xmas. Some of you got some gray hair will understand that, okay? All right, instead of Christmas, they would put Xmas. And it was like abbreviation. It was the beginning of a new language of not pronouncing all the words, but just putting symbols. Until I realized what they were doing. They wanted the Mass, but they didn't want the Christ in it. And that's the case today. They want the Mass, but they don't want the Christ in it. And so God, from the beginning, proclaimed the coming of Jesus Christ. This is not just a plan to save mankind. This is from the beginning. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. Upon the fall of mankind, God declared to the enemy, right at the fall. Can you imagine that? Did God have a plan or what? All right. Verse 14 says, The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, what he has done with deceive Eve, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. From the beginning, where did God put serpent? On the ground, because later he's going to tell us that it's going to be where? Under our feet, amen? And so verse 15 says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. So right in Genesis, we see the announcing of Jesus Christ coming, the Messiah. Amen? Right from the beginning, God's saying, I'm bringing in the power and might of heaven to undo what was done. Amen? God declared to Abraham that he would establish a covenant and promise regarding his seed. God promised Abraham. Now, Abraham was before what? The law? Uh-huh. Come on now. Right? I'm not going to go down that road. All right? Amen. God declared to Abraham that he should establish a covenant and a promise regarding his seed. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 in New King James, it says this. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He does not say Abraham and seeds as many, but as one. And to your seed, who is Christ. And so even in Abraham's time, this was proclaimed the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the deliverer, the coming of the Son of God. God also declared a prophetic word of Isaiah, the coming of the Christ child. Go with me to Isaiah 9:6 in a New American Standard. It says this, for a child will be born to us. Amen? A son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. And so today, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, we are celebrating the fulfillment of a prophecy that was given to Isaiah. And so you see, the proclamation of the coming of our deliverance started instantaneously when the fall happened. God didn't have a plan B. He has always had one plan. That's why Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world. Because this is all moving to bring us into the wholeness of what Christ intended. I love this part. God also, through the angel, declared to shepherds in the field that Christ's child had come. Declared it. Amen? An angel of the Lord, and this is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before the shepherds who were tending their flock in the fields at night and declared, amen? Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring good news and great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born your Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen. And so I wanted to just go back a little bit and say, let's do this remembrance. Let's remember that God proclaimed the coming of Jesus Christ way before. He proclaimed it. He declared it, and it came. Amen? Amen. So as I say today, and I'm ironically, I know this is going to be strange, but I am wrapping this up. Amen? I want us to see something here. The reason I went through all this today, because you see, I love it when the angels proclaimed, declared, and shouted good news for God's people to also be and have the same declaration as the angels did and the shepherds watching their flock by night. Amen. Let there be a declaration and a shout, even out of this place. I want to say this to you because we're living in a world that we don't want to shout anymore. We don't want to declare anymore. We don't want to declare anymore. We want to keep it all private because we don't want anything to happen to us. Because, you see, if you know, I go around grocery stores. I'm trying to be careful and stay tuned in without going, on what's going on in culture. But I go into grocery stores today, or any store, anywhere we go, and they say, Happy Holidays. And you know what I do? I say, Merry Christmas. Amen. On purpose. Yeah. Belligerent, if you will. Forceful, if you will. Because the time, listen to me, church, and this is why we got to remember what God did. The time of being passive, of declaring Jesus Christ, is got to come alive. The time has passed. We no longer can exist in this culture and hide Jesus. You can no longer be an incognito Christian in your little closet where we're saying our prayers, and that's all great, and that's what the Word says we're supposed to do. But also the Word says that as we go forth, and the reason Jesus came, as we go forth, that we are to declare to the world, the light has come, the Christ child is here, the Messiah is here, the King is here, the Comforter is here, the Deliverer is here. Amen. 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 I want us to come to a realization that the body of Christ has been muted. I grew up in an era. It's really strange. I think back on it. My parents were, my dad was rather successful. I'll just go with that. But we used to have our big holiday bashes, and they were holiday bashes, right, babe? You wear a shirt and tie to dinner. The whole 10 yards. My father's favorite time of year was to buy presents for his kids and his wife, and he did it extravagantly. But I was remembering this morning, I says, Lord, I grew up in an era that doesn't exist today, because with all the fancy Christmas decorations that we used to have at our home and all the wonderful dinners and parties, I remember one thing. Christ was always first. The celebration of Christmas was always about the birth of Jesus Christ. That's what we grew up in. It's kind of somewhere switched because the church isn't bringing forth the life anymore. I remember we went to Christmas Eve service with Karen's father one time. He was at Lutheran church, Christmas Eve service, about 2 feet of snow. We are going to church because Christmas to honor Christ. And so I remember trucking in the snow to get to church. We've lost something, church. And the body of Christ has become immune to the awesomeness of what Jesus is and what he did. What happened that day was not a baby being born. It was an invasion of heaven. It was a child. The Word was sent and what? Made what? God sent the Word and God was what? Made flesh. do we understand why did he have to do that? It's because the fall came from the inside out, and the only way that it was going to be repaired is for Christ to come inside of humanity and birth life from the inside out. And so he climbed inside of this woman, climbed inside of her. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Word of God, who was there when they created everything. We got to lose the power of what the culture has said we have today and gain the power of Christ again to realize that day, Jesus Christ, who is equal to God, who was a part of the Godhead bodily, reduced himself to come into a human flesh that he might grow up out of that flesh that you and I might have eternal life. Can we just remember this after hearing the Christmas story for years and years and years? Years and years and years. We almost can sing the songs by ourselves. Christmas songs. It's called shopping music now. Walk in a store and we have Christmas music to get you in the mood to remember what it was all about or to buy something. And so God wants us to just remember. As we take communion today, can we remember? Can we bring back to our remembrance really what happened that day? That not one of us in this room had any life left in us without Christ? The miracle of the child born, because Isaiah says a child is born, a son is given. And the miracle of a child born depicts God's placing his seed in humanity. And that seed is the Word which became flesh and dwelt among us. Think about that. How many of us are struggling with things in our life inside of us? Sometimes we can't get rid of them. Come to find out, look at what Jesus did. He climbed inside to set man free from the inside out. He became flesh, that anything of the flesh or sin cannot hold you anymore. A son is given. Establishes a fact that his deity as a son of the highest, most high, as found in Luke 1:32, and called the Son of God, Luke 1:35, establishes his relationship with the Father and revealing the Father to mankind. That's what Christ came to do. Because of Jesus Christ, the sonship and government was placed on his shoulders to rule and to reign over the kingdom of God and to establish it with judgment and justice. Isaiah 9:7. So God sent Jesus to rule and to reign over our lives, every one of us. Amen? Amen. Can I hear an amen on that? Yeah. The night Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the whole world would change. The night he was born, the whole world was going to change. Wow. That night, the world changed. Something like, he's going to come back in the blink of an eye? That's when he's coming back? You can blink your eye and he's here. He's going to take his church. It was that quick of a moment that he came. Amen? It was that twinkle of a moment that the world was changed. And billions of lives were giving opportunity to have life and changed. You see, life came to earth. Life came to earth, and the heavens proclaimed it. It's difficult to preach a Christmas message because we've heard it so many times. But I'm here to say to you that we need to get back into asking Holy Spirit, would you reveal the truth to us? maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea if before we opened up any presents on Christmas morning to pray together as a family. And thank God for the gift before you open gifts that will only last a week. Possibly, just a thought, it might be a good idea when we have our family dinner together. I know I've said this several times today, that when we pray a grace over the meal, that possibly we should remember what it's all about, and maybe someone would have the boldness, someone in the family would have the boldness maybe to open it up to Matthew 7, or maybe go to Luke and read the story of the Savior of the world, who humbled himself and came in the form of a man to be raised a king 33 years later. Isaiah said that government was placed on his shoulders, and it will always increase. Because God's kingdom will always increase. And what we know of the world today is going to decrease. Do not be fooled by what you see. God is in control. Do not lose hope as soon as this glitter and glitz and we take the lights down. Do not lose hope of this season. So, no, honey, the season's just begun, because my Savior and my Messiah is here on earth. And he didn't come here for a two-week celebration. He came to bring everlasting life. He came to take those who were dead and bring them to life. He take those who were cursed and release the curse. He came to take those who were sick and heal the sick, to set the captives free. That's what the child was all about. Such darkness, gross darkness of the people. But I'm here to tell you, look up, church, for the glory of the Lord is coming upon you. And the glory of what this time of year should exemplify is that light came into the world. And before we take communion, I will say this to you. Hear me. In the beginning, say, in the beginning, there was darkness. But God said, let there be light. That was an everlasting saying. Because not only did darkness flee when light came, darkness was put on notice when the birth of Jesus Christ, who was to manifest the light, not just in the sky, not just in the atmosphere. The most powerful thing is, he came to manifest the light within the inside of every believer. So then we can fulfill that we are the lights that sit upon a hill, shining, that the world might know that the Messiah came and now rules. Amen. But when the fullness of time had come, Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Amen. Pastor Karen. And so as we take communion today, can we do this? How many of you know that Christ came to get you out underneath the law? Christ came to fulfill everything. Not just to get you, and listen to me, because this is this is tricky a little if you don't understand. He didn't come just to take you out from underneath the law. Right. We like to think that, but that's cool. I mean, because he is the law. He is the fulfillment of the law. Right. But what is it that Christ came for? Christ came to make you sons of the Most High God. He came to create in you the relationship with the Father. Amen. I love communion time. Now I'm going to give you a prophetic word today. And I don't want to make light during the time of communion, but John and I were kind of laughing over something because they ordered bread for the communion today. Is that correct? And they wanted just a normal loaf, because we kind of knew, you know, Christmas, a lot of people traveling, you know, just a normal loaf. But God never sees things like we see them. God always multiplies and sees something greater than you think you can see. And so we were kind of joking about it, but then I thought, Brother John, this loaf is a prophetic sign to what God wants you to understand. Come up here, Brother John. I need you to hold the mic because I got to have some help here. They ordered a loaf of bread. They sent us one, the biggest one I think I've seen. But you know, it's a propheticness, because God says, stop thinking so small. Stop climbing inside of humanity and realize eternity climbed inside of you to bring you up out of humanity. And so the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And he broke it. And he says, this is my body that was broken for you. Oh yes, this is roughly 33 years later after we celebrate the birth of Christ. He came to rescue you. And he took all our diseases and our sins. He took all our stuff, everything that we have ever done, he took on his body. His stripes, we are healed. He took our sin and our iniquity. He took it all, everything. He took it all. There was nothing left except one thing. Wow. He never does anything halfway. Because the miracle of communion is that we break the bread realizing that he took everything on himself. Right. Everything you've done, he took. Every sickness that you were to bear, every bad thing, he took it. But then, the miracle. You see, God never intends for your thing, your stuff and your sin to sit around, your iniquity to be standing in your face. So then he took the cup. I can just picture all our junk all over him, all over us, stuff that you can't get rid of anymore. Living in today and all the garbage we live in, I can just picture that on Jesus hanging on the cross. But he says, I got an answer that's permanent. So he picked up the cup and he said, this is my blood of the new covenant. You see, it's the blood that washed the sins away. It's the blood that has the power of deliverance in it. Church, it's the blood that covers you when you blow it. And God looks down, the Father sitting on the throne of grace, and he sits down there and we're saying, oh Lord, I've sinned and we repent. And then all of a sudden we look around and we say, well, our memory about how bad we were. And God says, what? I don't see what's wrong with you. I don't see it. Because the cup bears the blood that washed away the sins of the world. It's the cup that represents the new covenant. That whenever God views us as his children, we are white as snow. We are without spot or wrinkle. There's nothing wrong with us. Can you get that in your spirit? That's what Jesus came that day to be birthed. That the ultimate end would be that God would look at you and you would be his prized son and daughter. And you would be white as snow without spot or wrinkle. And you would be pure in his eyes. Because the blood washed us, cleanses us. Now listen to me. And continues the covenantal cover between us and the Father. The reason I went through all the years that Jesus was proclaimed in Genesis and with Abraham and Isaiah, I want you to realize that when God makes a covenant, he keeps it. Not like us. And God, throughout all generations, spoke of the coming of Messiah, Jesus Christ, from day one. Never stopped proclaiming until he came. And now he's proclaiming that he came. And now he's proclaiming he's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Amen.